Hello and welcome to Let Loose episode 14. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fortitel, back with you, as the hat says, in the Brooklyn bunker once again. Extremely happy to be hosting the show where we are going to talk about a whole lot of 100-point races for the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks, to go over it all with me. He's back. He's from the planet Texas. He's the people's champion, Jonathan Kitchen. JK, what's up today?
I got to be honest with you, PTF. It's not very often that I have fashion envy of you, but today you are coming in strong. You have on the famous Marvin t-shirt, Marv the Bet Runner. I think it's at Marv the Bet Runner on Twitter. If it's not that, it's pretty close. And that Brooklyn Bunker hat is fire, man.
Yeah. We got to get you one. We're going to get you one with the burnt orange and the planet Texas. What do you think?
I'm in. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be phenomenal. I would wear that very often. I have a hat on today because you don't want anything to do with this hair at the moment. Haircut coming soon.
Yeah, I'll talk to our business manager, Drew Coatney, about see if the company can spring for that for you. Folks, the conversation starts here, but it doesn't end here. We want to keep it going over on Twitter. You can follow JK at, appropriately enough, UT Big Hair. I am at Looms Boldly. And if we get some conversation going over there, let's do it with the hashtag Let Loose. Pretty simple. Let us know your thoughts and let's see what you think about some of these races as well. And also, don't forget, you can listen to this episode of Let Loose as an audio only podcast as part of the In the Money Media Network. Wherever you get your podcasts, check it out. Subscribe to our main feed over there. You get all kinds of good content. One more little bit of business before we start diving into these races. Want to let folks know that they can create their new wagering accounts with twinspires.com and earn a $200 sign-up bonus. You must use the promo code on registration to be eligible. Open your twinspires.com account today using the code BET200 and start earning your $200 bonus right away. Okay, big weekend, all kinds of prep races, JK. I'm going to ask you to tell me the one you're looking forward to the most.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Ashland. Good friends of mine bought past the Champagne after her debut, was able to go down to South Florida when she broke her maiden. Now she's been with George Weaver for a full 5 weeks. We're really excited about I feel like I'm right there along for the ride, but really excited to see her run in the Ashland. It's a big step up. She's got to face two really talented horses in Simply Ravishing and Malathot, but both of them are coming in off of 100-day plus layoffs past the Champagne. Like I said, ran 5 weeks ago. So really excited to see her run and hoping that she can get qualified for the Kentucky Oaks and Randy Hill, Black Type Thoroughbreds, Rock Ridge, James Brown, and others.
If you're a speed figure believer, you think she's got a chance. Much has been made of the light speed figures in general being produced by that division. Past the Champagne, bit of an exception. It's a step up in class, but the numbers say she fits. And what a story that will be. We'll dive into the specifics of that race a little bit later on in the show. But right now we're going to go to the 3 100-point Kentucky Derby point races on Saturday. Kind of cool. They're all happening within about 45 minutes. If you're a racing fan at all, try to block out 6 to 7 p.m. on Saturday. Get that Twin Spires account open, get the app open, and make sure you follow along. We're going to find out a lot about some highly talented runners. Let's start off by talking about the Wood Memorial, one of the most interesting runners in here, in a way, not unlike Past the Champagne. This one's stepping up from Allowance Company into the graded level, talking about Brendan Walsh and Prevalence, 3-1 on the morning line, Stakes Company for the first time. What's your suspicion, JK? Will Prevalence be up to this challenge?
Yeah, well, one of my colleagues has made some pretty funny jokes about Prevalence, Andy Serling, about how slow the figure was last time. The expectation for this horse moving forward and the lack of ease in which he won his last race, the Allowance race. But for me, I'm not necessarily certain I want to bet on Prevalence in this spot. I think the horse has got a little bit of hype behind him. He will be bet in here, but I don't discount his chances. His debut was fast. Now, if they wanted to take the aggressive route, they would have found his next start to be a stake, but they didn't. They went in an Allowance. And if you show up in an Allowance when you're a stakes caliber type, to me, that is a conservative approach. And with a conservative approach, I feel like you could get a number that's not as fast, a performance that's not as wow as you would expect, because the idea is let's have an easy race before we go to stakes company. There's no reason to run off by seven, run a triple digit buyer. Then you might as well run in a darn stakes race. So I see the argument for prevalence moving forward and running well. I won't be betting on prevalence. I prefer the crowded trade for Chad Brown. I thought this horse ran extremely well in the Gotham off of a pretty big jump from his maiden win. I think he can run well. And I'm also interested in Brooklyn Strong. This is a horse that comes in off a very long layoff, very similar to the layoffs that Simply Ravishing and Malathot will be coming in off of. The difference for me in that situation is that Brooklyn Strong won that Remsen, and in third was Known Agenda. Known Agenda, obviously last week's winner of the Florida Derby. So that race seems to feel a little bit better than it might have been at first glance. And I think he's interesting coming in here off a break. It's a lot. It's a big ask. But I think because of the presence of Chad Brown, because of the presence of prevalence, I think Brooklyn Strong will be an attractive price where you can take that leap of faith. So my attention's going down towards the inside, the one and the two, Brooklyn Strong and Crowded Trade.
Brooklyn Strong listed at 6-1 on the morning line here. Conspicuous potentially in their absence from your remarks, JK, the winner of the Withers, Risk Taking, and the Gotham winner, Wayburn, who beat Crowded Trade, who you gave a nice shout to, and I would actually also make my top pick in this race. No love for Risk Taking or Wayburn for you?
Risk Taking too slow. Wayburn bias aided. Next question.
Yeah, way next like that. You should bust that out more. The irritated sounding next question is always a hit on podcast. I'm totally with you. Of the two, I feel like Crowded Trade is the one you want out of that race. I feel like he ran better than Wayburn when you factor in trips and how the track was playing. And you've got one who's the second time going long, first time around two turns, and in hands where I just am guessing we're going to see continual improvement. I get crabbing prevalence for the speed figure. I don't get crabbing prevalence for, how did you say it, that he didn't look that visually impressive or something. I thought he was pretty darn visually impressive in the last furlong and on the gallop out. And for a horse that was clearly just having a public workout, isn't that the type of the part of the race that's the most important? I think it'd be foolish to ignore this horse, but I agree because I'm enough of a figure monkey that I'm still much more leaning towards Crowded Trade. But I mean, I'd have prevalence as an A, I think.
Well, I think the problem is it's not like he kind of, you know, professionally got by a very talented horse, right? He professionally got by Southern Passage, who may never win a stake in his career, right? So I think it was kind of how, but also who, but then also, you know, to Andy's defense, I think Andy is pointing out the hype this horse has gotten. I think he went off at 20-1 and or 20 something to one in the last, or maybe 16-1, one of those two numbers in the last Derby pool. So I think it's just like, So this is your Derby winner, you know, with a slow figure, barely beating a not very good horse in an allowance race. I think that's more of,
I think we're all in agreement on that. And I feel like in the foreign market, something like 14-1. And as I've said many times, that's crazy, but still a horse I think has a lot of potential for improvement. I'm interested to see what he does. Let's move on to our second of the 300 point Derby prep races. It's the Bluegrass Stakes, and a horse who shortened up significantly in the market last weekend, JK, and all he had to do was stay in the barn. Is this year's Bluegrass Stakes as simple as essential quality?
Not quite. I think there's two horses that can win. The good news is that the Wood Memorial will be ran prior to this. So you'll be able to understand how good Wayburn and Crowded Trade really are, so it can help you understand how good Highly Motivated is. And I'm playing pick sixes, pick fives, everything I'm doing using Pass the Champagne. I am using no one else in this race except for Highly Motivated and Essential Quality, and I'll probably use Essential Quality twice as much as I use Highly Motivated. The argument on Highly Motivated is I thought the last race he ran well. He did not have an easy trip. That was a time where being towards the inside was where you wanted to be. This horse spent a lot of time kind of towards the outside. I think he's going to run much better. The speed figure was fast. So he's got a chance. Essential Quality, on the other hand, I'm getting closer, and this is around the time I start kind of deciding who I'm going to pick for the Derby, you know, pending workouts, pending draws. But Essential Quality is right on that edge, getting ready to jump off the cliff into the ocean as my Derby pick. He's the type of horse that I think is going to appreciate the added ground. That's not my thought. When I was lucky enough to have Brad Cox on JK Plus One, he said after Essential Quality's first work, he looked to his assistant and said, "That's my Belmont horse." If you think that's your Belmont horse, he's definitely your mile and an eighth horse. He's going to continue to improve as his distances go. He overcame that two-year-old champ sometimes don't train on. He did train on. He ran a faster figure last time than he has, and it was in the slop at Oaklawn. But Oaklawn being an all-dirt racing situation, I always feel like those figures are pretty accurate. He's a fast horse, and if he improves a little bit, he's going to be very hard to beat. I only need those two. And the answer to your question is no, I cannot make a case for anyone else. One of them two will win.
I do want to mention, even though you just told me not to ask you this, just because I remember you were a big fan of Keep Me in Mind last time, a horse we disagreed about the last day. I was just curious what that performance was, just not enough to keep him on the radar. Sometimes I know you show loyalty to runners with one bad start.
When I love you in a race, you got to pick up your feet or sign the divorce papers.
Straight to the no bet list.
That's exactly how I feel. That was the time that if Keep Me in Mind was going to run the race that I was hoping, that was the time. He had a setup with two fast horses in front of him. And it's not like he like made a run, flattened down and ran third. He was empty. And so if he wins, I lose. But I won't lose completely because I think I have Jeff Ruby for dinner on Saturday.
One of us is hacking into the other of our emails here, because I think we've got the same potentially interesting horse with Highly Motivated. At the end of the day, what concerns me, and I mean, this is a horse that I thought ran really well last time with trouble, just looks and feels progressive. But pace-wise, man, this race does, and it's a lot has been made of this in Horse Racing Twitter, but just not a lot in the way of pace in this spot. Do you think Highly Motivated is going to be able to stay in touch and potentially be able to get into this race before Essential Quality's bird has flown, as it were? That's ultimately what makes me a little bit scared about getting too stuck into Highly Motivated, and makes me think it could be an Essential Quality layup with Highly Motivated, an interesting runner for a different kind of situation down the line.
Well, I mean, you know, Essential Quality is no winning colors either. I mean, you know, it's not like he's got one way of going. Here's the thing. When it comes to those situations, I'm a big believer in pace makes the race. You know, people get those tattoos with like long phrases and words like all over their bodies, and it's mostly kind of corny. I would maybe consider pace makes the race tattoo. Probably like right here along my chest line. I'm just joking. I wouldn't do that. But here's the thing. Pace makes the race if someone takes advantage of the pace. There's no one in here that's going to get out on the front end and
they might be 1-2. Timeform US, funny enough, has them 1-2. So
exactly. So this is going to be a classic invited into the race thing, and it's going to be who's going to kick home quicker. My lean is Essential Quality. The value is Highly Motivated. But like I said, in multi-race bets is the way I'm going to be playing this race. I'm going to have Essential Quality for a $5 pick five, and I'm going to have Highly Motivated for a $2 pick five. And I'll do two different tickets just like that. One of them, two, in my opinion, has to win.
Just to give you my thought process, even though the pace numbers are similar, this is where I was factoring in connections. It felt to me like the combination of Cox and Saez were more likely to take the bull by the horns and potentially go on with it in this spot than Castellano, Chad Brown. So I was thinking they might be, you know,
he'll be closer. He'll be closer. And, you know, even from a speed figure standpoint, he's got a little bit of an edge, but Highly Motivated has an opportunity to improve, to continue to take that step forward. Essential Quality, I guess you could put a little bit of the question mark that figure, that comeback great figure, was earned on a sloppy racetrack. But, you know, but the figure matches what he did as a two-year-old, you know. So I think they're both really good horses. And if Essential Quality gets a clean trip with no issues, he's going to win. For whatever reason, if he doesn't, has an issue, doesn't, whatever, then Highly Motivated can. But if I had to pick one, I would pick Essential Quality.
My other thing, just a gut, not to give you too much of a hard time, but to match the market, I'm guessing you'd probably have to have more essential quality than the 5-2 number that you said, just because I think there's a real chance he's going to be like everybody's single. I think you might want to have like 5X on him as opposed to highly motivated if you're looking to stay in tune with the market. But
you know, yeah, I mean, wanna... I think I want to, you know, I think there is a part of me that wants, I don't need it to be a complete Dutch principle where I'm going to get the same thing either way. Mm-hmm. I want to take advantage of the fact that there could be some upside with highly motivated, but I just don't think he's the winner as many times in the race as essential quality is. But I think there's going to be some value there, like you said, and they're going to bet essential quality. And in a pick five or a pick six, where I'm potentially singling past the champagne, my value is already made. I just need to
totally get, fair.
You know, the value's been created already.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just wanted to talk it through for a minute. Yeah. Let's move out to Santa Anita and see if we can finally get some disagreement on this week's show. We've got a deep field of 10 heading to the great race place. 100 points on the line. 6:30 Eastern-ish will be the post time for this race. Who do you like in here, JK?
Yeah, I mean, look, Medina Spirit is faster. He's game. He's all these things. He's probably the winner. I think Law Professor is a little bit interesting from Michael McCarthy. His horse ran well. Hasn't really taken a lot of money, but has run okay. McCarthy's horses seem to always improve, and when they're going well, they stay going well. So I thought he was a little bit interesting. And then I think Back Ring Luck is a little bit interesting as well, switching to John Sadler. I've seen John Sadler move a horse up off Chad Brown. The idea that this horse could improve after running so well at Oaklawn is not outside the realm of possibility. So I think he's a little bit interesting, but you know, to me, it's a Medina Spirit race to lose. I have no interest in Defunded. This is just a, hey, let's see what happens, I think, type of move. I don't necessarily think he's the greatest. He's going from 6 to 9 furlongs. That's not easy. And I'm just not really that interested in the two inside horses that are going to probably take that alternate money in Roman Centurion and Dream Shake. I think the time to have Dream Shake was the maiden race. And I don't necessarily see anything in that last race that suggests he's going to turn the tables. And the other thing is, not only is Medina Spirit faster than all of these, from every one of these horses I've seen, Medina Spirit has shown that grit, that if he gets into a situation, he'll be able to kind of bull his way out of that situation. At least he proved that when he ran in the Robert Lewis.
We agree and we disagree. Medina Spirit is a clear top pick for me. This is a horse who can probably run a little bit faster. I mean, I thought he was notably restrained, probably out of fear of, you know, testing and failing the test of trying his gorilla stablemate last time. But I think if just ridden to win without having to worry about said gorilla, you're going to see potentially better stuff from Medina Spirit. He's got that toughness. He's got that grit, and he's just got a lot in hand in speed figure terms. But I think you're a little harsh about Dream Shake, who did, you know, semi try the gorilla last time. That was his first time going long. This is a horse who I just think projects to be better second time going long in a different scenario. I wouldn't give up too easy on Dream Shake. But other than that, I feel like we're going to win or lose together in these three races. I don't know that Dream Shake can, I mean, I think he can win, but I'm more interested in him underneath, I think.
Well, here's the problem. When I like the favorite in a race, I don't like defaulting to bet horses. Like, you know, okay, Medina Spirit, I don't necessarily, he's not the gorilla in the room like Life is Good was, but he's probably the most likely winner. I would rather live and die on that hill of the Medina Spirit hill or look for prices. I hate using... there's times for it, depending on the sequence, but I don't like using the favorite who I think is the most likely winner. And then, you know what? Let me use this 3-1 shot and this 4-1 shot too, because they could win. Like, I need to like them, and I don't love Roman Centurion and Dream Shake. I'm not arguing with the fact that Dream Shake could run better, but he's going to be the second choice.
What prices? I don't have a morning line here. What prices are you guessing?
I don't either. I mean, Medina Spirit will be odds on, and Dream Shake will be 5-2, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if I'm right about that. I'm getting better at this math.
I like Dream Shake a lot more than you do. I feel like get out of the race with those two. Maybe I'm underrating Roman Centurion or some of the others, but we shall see.
Hashtag let loose. Hashtag let loose. Answer that question.
Yeah.
The odds of Medina Spirit and the odds of Dream Shake. I'll say 4-5 Medina Spirit, 5-2 Dream Shake. Final answer. All my lifelines are gone.
I'm hoping Dream Shake is a little bit longer than that, but even at that number, I'd love to have him included in some combinations of stuff. Haven't gone over the whole sequences at Santa Anita yet, so I don't have any real specific ideas. Let's talk about the ladies' side of things, JK. Not really ladies, the fillies in the Oaks Trail. You've already tipped your hand as to the race that you're most looking forward to, but any other thoughts you have specifically about the Ashland and how that's going to play out or any of the other Oaks prep races over the weekend?
Look, I mean, there's only six horses in the race. And it's a grade one with two really talented horses. Simply Ravishing as a 2-year-old and Malathot as a 2-year-old did pretty impressive things. They ran fast, but they didn't run as fast as Pass the Champagne. Pass the Champagne has run so far. So you got to look at it a couple ways. There's that 10 to 12 point buyer kind of jump that we expect to see from horses that are making their starts from 2 to 3. So there's that chance that they could just jump up and run with it. The problem is I did some work on looking at Kenny McPeak and Todd Pletcher. And in the last 5 years, this is a pretty rabbit hole stat, but in the last 5 years, they have not had horses run or win in layoffs like this and graded stakes on the dirt as 3-year-olds. It's a long break, you know? And so it's not something they typically do. Now, look, they could jump up and run well, but I think that there's a chance for improvement with Pass the Champagne. She was only with George for about 10 days before her last race, and now she's been with him for 5 weeks. I know they're high on her. I know they're excited about her. And this is one of those moments where, you know, if she wins, then she's as good as they thought she was. And if she doesn't, they got to kind of go back to the drawing board and figure out where she is. If she hits the top three, I think she's in the Oak. So it's really just about the other two. If they show up, then we'll have a race. If they don't show up and they're short, I think she'll get her picture taken.
I'm excited to see how it all plays out. JK, going to come back to you in just a second here with your bet, your one play, if you had to give out one play to the viewers. But first, I want to tell you about another TwinSpires promotion. This is pretty cool. And this one is not just for new account holders, but also existing account holders. It's a $15,000 place jackpot. So every day of the Keeneland meet, there's going to be an extra $1,000 on the line if you play along on TwinSpires. All you have to do is make a $5 place bet in at least 6 races. And if you hit them all, you are eligible for part of that $1,000 place on each day of the Keeneland meet. Of course, it's a 15-day meet, April 2nd to April 23rd. And, you know, I'm always a big fan of these promotions where you get to participate, you get to enjoy them, even if you're a loyal customer for years and not necessarily somebody coming in from the cold. Not that we mind those people either. All right, JK, here it is. Give me one play in the races we've discussed for the weekend. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to make it past the Champagne. And I'm not saying that from a fan standpoint. I really do think there's an opportunity. She's going to be the third, maybe fourth choice. Will Secret probably could take some money as well. She's on a 3-race win streak. So, look, if you can single a horse at second, that's the third or the fourth choice in a sequence, I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I mean, I'm giving that play away here. But I just that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be singling here. Maybe I know too much. Maybe I feel too connected, but I think there's actually a play there. She's faster on figures. The other horses are trying to get to her level in terms of speed figures. And they're having to do it off of a long layoff. So, the 2 horse in the Ashland, past the Champagne.
I like it. I'm going to go to the Wood Memorial for mine. I really do like Crowded Trade in this spot. We talked about the case before. I feel like this horse ran better than Weyburn, all things considered. Second time going long, first time around 2 turns, which I think based on the hands that this one's in and the pedigree should not be a problem. I'm going to keep it simple and bet Crowded Trade to win. Closing thought from you, JK, before we wrap this episode of Let Loose.
That's a fun weekend. I'm excited about the Derby races. We obviously focused on the Ashland. I'm looking forward to seeing search results run in New York in the Gazelle. I always get the Gazelle and Demoiselle confused. They kind of rhyme. If I was a good rapper, I can make a rhyme where I use Demoiselle and Gazelle in the same. See, I almost did it, but I didn't.
Oh, that would have been good.
I'm also excited, looking forward to Michael McCarthy running Mraz back in the Santa Anita Oaks. So, look, these are the races. I said it on the podcast the other day. These are the races and the times of the year where you realize it's all downhill from here. Nothing but fun stuff. We've got Derby preps this weekend. We got Derby preps next weekend. Then we've got the Derby. Then we got the Preakness. Then we got the Belmont. And then it just starts rolling. And then it's Saratoga and Del Mar. Next thing you know, we're at Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think a lot of people are. As the world kind of starts to open up and start to normalize a little bit.
As I show off my second
there you
vaccine
go.
Shot there. Downhill is one of those funny expressions. It's called an antagonym, where it means one thing and it means its opposite. To some people, it all went downhill from there. Bad things. You're using it in the other completely accepted sense of, you know, it's all downhill from here. Smooth sailing, building momentum, super excitement. And that's certainly the case this weekend. As for your Gazelle Demoiselle, I know you strike me more as like a triple rhyme flow kind of guy. So you're going to have to find a third one to put in there too.
I will. I'll figure it out. I'll let loose. Give me another word that rhymes with the hashtag let loose. Another word that rhymes with Gazelle and Demoiselle. And when I was referring to downhill, Pete, we make jokes about it. I've run out of gas at least 5 times in my adult life. So being downhill is a good thing when you don't have gas, and then you can put it in neutral and just try to steer it into the, it's happened to me before. I've neutral coasted in to get gas before, but I live on the edge.
In more ways than one, my friend, in more ways than one. Great hearing your thoughts on these races. Look forward to seeing you at Keeneland. Thanks to everybody. Join the conversation. Use that hashtag let loose. Let us know what prices you think these runners are going to be in the Santa Anita Derby. We will be back next week taking a look at the final big prep race, the Arkansas Derby. Until then, may you win all your photos.